Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Scattered showers continue across our southwestern communities. I'll show you how long we'll have these rain showers in the forecast coming up.
Also, state lawmakers are making their case for and against legalizing marijuana in North Carolina. We're live at the state legislature with reaction to the latest measure.
And this week, Fort Bragg becomes Fort Liberty. We're live on post where a new tradition is scheduled to begin.
Lots of clouds and passing showers are with us again today. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Meteorologist Amy Wilmoth is here now with a look at when we start to dry out and warm up. Amy.
We'll have some warmer temperatures by the end of the week and we'll start to dry out as well. But we're still in this pattern where we have this low pressure system off the North Carolina coast. It's driving in this northeasterly flow that brings in some moisture off the coast and we have some rain. We have some clouds. We have the potential for an isolated thunderstorm as well. Right now, the rain is focused in our southwestern communities. I haven't seen any lightning with this so far, but starting to notice some of these little cells intensify a little bit with some oranges and some reds showing up as well. So some brief heavy downpours. You can see that these are fairly small in nature. They're moving from the east to the west. So Sanford getting a little bit of rain. Southern Pines, I've seen some of that on the camera there that we have. Harnett County getting a little bit of rain. This is a live look at Southern Pines. It was raining a short time ago, and now it looks like the sun is out. Golfers are out. They don't have to worry about any thunder right now. You can see the clouds here, but also a few peaks of sun. It's definitely feeling a little steamy outside as well. The humidity is a little bit high out there. Here's a look at future cast. We'll have these passing showers moving in from the coast. So some scattered showers remain possible on and off throughout the day today, and we'll keep that potential into tomorrow as well. So a few passing showers throughout the day today. We'll have more clouds than sun. Temperatures will stay in the 70s through the evening, and then we'll fall into the 60s overnight tonight. I'll have more on the hour-by-hour rain forecast for tomorrow coming up in just a little bit.
Amy, thanks. Today, more discussion over whether to legalize medical marijuana in North Carolina. Today's debate is significant because it involves members of the Republican-controlled House. And in the past, the House has largely ignored this topic. WRAL Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie is live at the state legislative building with what both sides are saying. Laura, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Renee. This bill would make North Carolina the 39th state in the country to legalize medical marijuana. The Senate, which is also Republican-led, already passed this bill this year with bipartisan support. The Senate also passed a bill last year, but the House would not even hear it at that time. So the fact they're even talking about it today means that its chances are probably better. The bill they're talking about would legalize medical marijuana for a list of 15 debilitating or terminal conditions, including cancer, PTSD, Parkinson's, and ALS. It would not legalize recreational marijuana. Patients would have to be residents of North Carolina and be certified by their doctor as eligible to be able to buy it. And they'd have to buy it at state-licensed dispensaries, which would not be allowed to advertise. Senator Bill Raven is the bill's sponsor. He survived advanced colon cancer years ago. He says his oncologist told him if he wanted to live through the chemotherapy he'd need, he would have to find marijuana for the nausea, and he smoked it every day while he was undergoing the chemo.
That's the only reason I'm alive today. No science behind it, but I can tell you, I know. And there are tens of thousands of people in this state that could benefit just as I did.
We do not decide medicine in the United States by anecdote or by stories. We decide it based on science. I'm going to ask you to exercise some humility. You are not the FDA.
Now, that's David Evans, an opponent of medical marijuana. He says there's very little medical evidence that it helps any of the conditions for which Raven's bill would make it legal. And he claims that it's just a step toward legalizing recreational marijuana, although several other states have legalized medical marijuana and stopped there. Now, some committee members also expressed some concerns and skepticism about the idea. The committee did not vote on it today. We're told that Republicans and Democrats are going to meet in their caucuses this afternoon and discuss it before they decide whether or not to put it up for a vote. Renee?
Laura Leslie, live at the state capitol. Laura, thank you.
New this noon, Fayetteville police have charged a juvenile for a shooting we first reported to you in February. Some of you may find this surveillance video from the scene disturbing. That shooting happened outside the Cumberland Food Mart on Cumberland and Hillsborough Streets. Video shows 25-year-old Brittany Rich leaving the store. A man grabbed the keys to her car, and when she tried to get them back, he shot her. Rich stumbled into the store for help. At the time of the shooting, it was reported she was pregnant, but the investigation revealed she was not. A juvenile faces several charges, including attempted first-degree murder, and detectives are looking for two other people in relation to this crime. Memorial Day ended in violence and chaos in Hollywood, Florida. Shots were fired near a busy beach area. Nine people suffered injuries. One victim was just a year old. NBC's Guad Venegas is in Florida, where investigators pleaded with the public for help bringing the shooters to justice.
It was a Memorial Day celebration that ended in tragedy here late Monday afternoon. Authorities say thousands were on the beach when this happened. Police believe there was an altercation that resulted in gunfire. Nine people were struck by the bullets. Eight of them were in stable condition as of last night, and one was still undergoing a surgery at a local hospital. Now, five of those injured are adults and four are minors, including a one-year-old child. Police have some surveillance videos that they are looking at, but they are asking people who were here who might have videos or photos on their phones to share that with authorities so that that can help with the investigation. Authorities have also indicated that they had police officers and first responders nearby when this happened, and they were able to arrive moments after the shooting took place to help the victims that were struck by the gunfire. They've also informed that they've detained one person of interest, and they are still looking for a suspect, once again asking the public for any photos or videos that might help with that investigation. Back to you.
That was Guad Venegas reporting. Testimony began this morning in the death penalty trial for the man charged in the Pittsburgh synagogue mass shooting. The victim's families arrived in court this morning for opening statements. Robert Bowers is charged with killing 11 people and wounding two others at the Tree of Life Synagogue in 2018. It was the deadliest anti-Semitic attack in U.S. history. Defense attorney suggested a plea deal, life in prison in exchange for removing the death penalty. So far, federal prosecutors have not budged.
Fort Bragg is a step closer to becoming Fort Liberty. Final preparations are being made for the Sunset Liberty March, which takes place the day before the redesignation. WRL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays is at Fort Bragg. And Gilbert, I understand no elliptico. You walked the Liberty Trail this morning.
Yeah, I was just about out of breath, too. It's only about a half mile. It starts here at this circle. It says Liberty for All. And then it's going to go up just over a half mile up the hill there. You can see it constructed here. This is just what it looks like now. It's going to be much better than this as the years go on. And at the top of that hill, there's going to be a monument and a plaza. Now, this walk is going to take place 365 days a year, rain or shine. Now, I want to take you back here and give you a sense of what the march is about. It mirrors the one that is in Holland, where more than 40 members of the 82nd Airborne Division lost their lives in battle at a bridge that crosses the Wall River during World War II. Now, Lieutenant General Chris Donahue is Fort Bragg's commanding general. He says every day at sunset, a designated veteran who signs up will walk this trail in honor of someone who has given his or her life for this country, that person who has made the ultimate sacrifice for liberty.
Every day we come out and we represent, a veteran of the day will come out and we will represent a gold star, a person who gave his life, a family. Family members can come and do it. Anyone can come here and do that and sign up and do it. And every day we will remember.
You know, in addition to honoring the heroes, you will also get a history lesson about the evolution of Fort Bragg. Signs along the trail will highlight significant events that have taken place on these hollow grounds dating back to 1774. I tell you, if you're a history buff, you got to look up the connection between this march and the one in the Netherlands. It's really fascinating stuff. And Jeff, I did a Facebook Live here, and folks are already calling me. How do I sign up? How do I sign up? There's a lot of cards like this out here with a QR code. Don't worry about it. You go to the end of this story at WREL.com. We'll have all the information on how you can sign up for your day. I'm thinking I'm going to either sign up to do it on the first day I was assigned here at Fort Bragg in 1978 in January, or I might do it on the date of my father's birthday, who was also a veteran, served in World War II. I may do it on his birthday.
All this changed because of the Confederacy. Gilbert Bays live in Fayetteville for us on Fort Bragg Post right now. Gilbert, thank you.
A tragic chain of events leaves one driver dead, a Texas state trooper in the hospital, and another driver in custody. It all began with a call about a suspected drunk driver early this morning in Chamber County, southeast of Houston. A trooper tracked down that driver, and both cars pulled over to the shoulder. Another deputy responded for backup, and while walking to the scene, another vehicle slammed into the trooper's car, pinning the officer between vehicles. That driver died. No word on the trooper's condition. Back here at home, a woman and a child are being treated for life-threatening injuries after this crash in Durham. This was on Highway 70 near Lynn Road. The crash happened shortly after 7:45 this morning. It involved several vehicles. U.S. Highway 70 was closed in both directions between Lynn Road and Pleasant Avenue while officers investigated. The road is open now. No word on charges on or who caused the crash.
We're seeing more tributes to one of the state's top Democratic political strategists, Conan Morgan. Just before midnight, Wake County Sheriff Willie Rowe shared this statement, saying in part that Morgan would be forever remembered for his radiant smile, soft-spoken words of wisdom, thoughtfulness, and genuine concern for mankind. Morgan died over the weekend in a boating accident on Shackelford Banks. That's near Beaufort. Social media is full of tributes, including one from Governor Roy Cooper, who praised Morgan's hard work and determination. Colleagues say, above all, Morgan was a great person.
You know, his intelligence will be missed. His acumen will be missed. But I think most people just miss him as a person.
Morgan graduated from Garner High School and then from NC State.
President Biden and Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy may have reached a deal on raising the debt limit. Now it's up to the House Rules Committee to consider the deal. This plan would suspend the debt ceiling until January 2025. It includes more or less a freeze on spending outside of the Pentagon. Many Democrats are angry over small enhancements in work requirements for welfare programs.
We are being held hostage. That is a very real word for where we are right now. There are things I would never vote for under normal circumstances.
It's time for the big boys and the big girls to step up and realize that we can't let perfect be the enemy of the good and that we've got to get this done.
If it clears committee, it would go to a full House vote on Wednesday.
Next at noon, solving the mystery of the green water in Venice, Italy, and how it wasn't what the locals thought.
Also, a new report shows people believe their paid time off is worth more than insurance. We break down the numbers.
Plus, video poker donations to lawmakers. At 12:30, why the State Board of Elections is being asked to investigate.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, all southbound lanes on the Durham Freeway are closed right now after a camper fire. We actually have video from the scene. One of our photojournalists was there and captured this video of firefighters putting out a fire at a camper. You can see them using that saw to take the camper apart. Right now, it is unclear how that fire started, how many people were inside the camper at the time, and who was hurt. I will work on getting those details and bring them to you from the Live Center.
A rare drone attack struck Moscow today, damaging some buildings while Russia pursued its relentless bombardment of Kyiv. It was the third assault with drones on the city in 24 hours. NBC's Molly Hunter reports from the site of one of the strikes in the Ukrainian capital.
Now, the Kremlin says President Putin was briefed about those drone attacks in Moscow. But Moscow's pointing the finger directly at Kyiv. A senior Ukrainian official, though, is saying, we are watching, but Ukraine had nothing to do with them. I just want to show you where we are. Come with, walk with me. We are outside a massive high-rise building, and you can see all of the broken windows. This is one of several residential buildings that was damaged overnight. I can't show you the top floor, but there was massive destruction. We spoke with residents who lived inside. They say they heard a really big explosion just around 3 a.m., a pressurized explosion. We tried to figure out whether that building, whether this building behind me took a direct hit, whether the damage that was caused, and it is massive building-wide damage, was caused because of debris falling from a drone. Now, according to the Ukrainian Air Force, they shot down nearly every single one of 30 drones. It's a third major attack, aerial attack, over Kyiv just in the last 24 hours. And I just want to show you kind of the response. You see all of these guys in helmets. we can't get any closer because they're literally throwing kind of windows and glass and debris out. And then down here you see Red Cross, first responders, residents of the building getting food, getting water, filling out paperwork. We also asked for reaction from one of the residents in here about what it was like to read that news this morning after a terrifying night, about what it was like to read the news of those drone attacks in Moscow. And he said people in Moscow are getting a very tiny taste of what residents here in Kyiv have been dealing with for 15 months. I'll send it back to you.
As Molly Hunter reporting, Serbian star tennis star Novak Djokovic is calling for peace in Kosovo. Moments after winning his match yesterday at the French Open, the 22-time Grand Slam champion wrote on the camera lens, "Kosovo is in the heart of Serbia. Stop violence." Kosovo is a largely ethnic Albanian-populated region which declared independence from Serbia in 2008. Djokovic says that was the least he could do.
Big trouble is brewing for New York and other coastal cities across the country. Rising sea levels pose severe threats for flooding. Gary Baumgarten explains how the climate is causing the nation's largest city to sink.
The city that never sleeps is facing a new nightmare. New research published in the journal Earth's Future reveals that New York City is sinking 1 to 2 millimeters each year, making the threat of rising sea levels more alarming.
It's inevitable that the ground's going down, the water's coming up.
Geologists say it's natural for some land masses to sink over time as ground is compressed, but the crushing weight of the Big Apple skyscrapers, sidewalks, and more is speeding up the process. According to researchers, the more than 1 million buildings across New York's five boroughs weigh a combined 1.7 trillion tons. But not every part of the concrete jungle is sinking equally. While much of the skyscrapers in central Manhattan are built on rock, some neighborhoods in lower Manhattan, Brooklyn, and Queens lie on top of looser ground.
We have different kinds of soils across New York City, including artificial fill that was put in to enhance some of the land areas, and that can sink just under its own weight because it's so poorly consolidated.
That was Gary Baumgarten reporting. Data from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration predicts ocean levels along the U.S. could rise 10 to 12 inches over the next 30 years. That could pose hazards for sinking New York and other coastal cities like San Francisco, Miami, and New Orleans.
Investigators in Italy say they've solved the mystery of why Venice's Grand Canal turned fluorescent green. The Grand Canal is a major waterway that is often jammed with tourists and gondolas. Some people there thought it was a stunt pulled by climate change activists. But analysts say it was due to a non-toxic substance used for testing wastewater networks. Did it to themselves, I suppose, trying to figure out if the water's safe.
This was about 20 years ago when I went to Venice, and the water is usually green, but at that time, that was because of algae blooms. And let me tell you, the smell, I mean, it's so beautiful there, but oh, the smell.
That
it was something else. Yeah. Well, it wasn't that fluorescent, but it was green, you know? So.
I get it.
So much for the beautiful pictures. This isn't a beautiful picture
right
now.
We have
now,
some clouds out there. We have some raindrops in certain areas. Sanford's one of them. Amy Wilmuthen, WRL Severe Weather Center.
You can see the remnants of a shower that just moved through downtown Sanford. Some of the raindrops still on the lens here. The roads are wet here as well, but now the sun is shining. So we're seeing this on multiple cameras. This is a live look at Pinehurst, and you can see the clouds there. They've had some on and off showers. Right now, the golfers are out, and they're doing just fine at the Resort and Country Club there. But there have been several little showers moving through our southwestern communities. This morning, it was the Triangle and some of our northeastern communities. Now it's focused in the west and southwest part of the viewing area. Not seeing any lightning with these, but certainly some brief heavy downpours. You can see some areas of yellows and some oranges and even reds in some locations in our southwestern counties. So some passing showers continue, and we'll continue to have this potential on and off throughout the day. Not everybody's going to get the rain, but we have this northeasterly flow off the North Carolina coast driving in some moisture. So another round of rain possible for some of you. If you've already had a shower, just plan for the potential for another one during the afternoon and evening. Here's 6 o'clock. We can have some wet roads during the evening commute, and then it's quiet overnight tonight. Maybe we'll see a little bit of fog. If we get some clearing, we could see a little bit of patchy fog. And then tomorrow, we have about a 30% chance for a passing shower. We'll still have that northeasterly flow, so we'll have some clouds. and a stray shower can't be ruled out. So about a 40% chance for the rest of the day today, a 30% chance for some rain on Wednesday, so the rain chances aren't high. We'll drop them to 20% chance Thursday and Friday. Now, these days, it's going to warm up, so an isolated thunderstorm will be possible if we start to see something on radar. Saturday, about a 30% chance for a stray shower or a thunderstorm as well. Temperatures right now are in the 60s and 70s. If you've had some showers, it's a little bit cooler in a couple of spots. 63 in Roxborough, 65 in South Hill, 72 in Raleigh, 72 in Fayetteville. The dew points are also pretty high in the 60s and even 70s, 70 in Clinton. So if you step outside, it feels pretty humid, feels pretty sticky out there. That's going to continue for the next couple of days as well. So a little bit sticky outside. Our high temperature today likely climbing into the mid-70s in Raleigh, around 74, 78 the high in Fayetteville. This evening, we'll keep the rain in the forecast. Not everybody getting the rain, but about a 30 to 40% chance for a shower through the evening commute. We'll stay in the 70s through about 7 o'clock, and then we'll eventually fall into the upper 60s by 8 o'clock. And certainly a lot of cloud cover out there as well. Tomorrow, we'll see a few peaks of sun, a couple of passing showers, maybe an isolated storm, a high of 75. 80 on Thursday, a 20% chance for a storm, and even warmer Friday, 85 degrees. Saturday, we're up to 86, about a 30% chance for storms, but there are signs that another weak front will move through, and that's going to drop our temperatures again the second half of the weekend and into next week with temperatures in the upper 70s. I'll show you how long we could have some of these cooler temperatures through the month of June coming up in the next half hour.
Looking forward to hearing that, Amy. Thanks. Tonight on our news at 5:30, a derm company developed a way to destroy 99.9% of harmful chemicals in wastewater. Learn about the system working to eliminate the waste our society creates.
Plus, a Chatham County family says their dream home was built so poorly they were told they're better off tearing it down than repairing it. No one's taking responsibility either. So now the homeowner is sharing his frustrations with Five on Your Side. We'll hear from him tonight at 6. Meantime, still ahead this noon, some tech giants are interested in bidding on future NBA media rights, the top companies that could enter the process next year.
Also, what's more important to you, paid time off or insurance? What a new study reveals about the attitudes of employees.
It is a live look right now at Beaufort, and there's a couple of breaks in the clouds right there, seeing some of the blue sky. But we have clouds largely up here in the triangle right now. It'll be a mild day as we get things started. And you watch WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Paid time off is more important to some employees than health insurance. A recent survey by the Pew Research Center found that 62% of people who responded felt paid time off is extremely important. Only 51% of workers say employer-provided health insurance is extremely important. Almost half of the people who responded also reported they do not use all of their paid time off. Some say they don't want to burden coworkers with extra tasks and possibly falling behind as reasons for not using it.
Some of the world's wealthiest people are worth more money than the U.S. Treasury has in cash. Federal data shows the U.S. had $38.8 billion in cash as of May 25th. That's less than the net worth of 31 billionaires, including Tesla CEO Elon Musk, Amazon founder Jeff Bezos, and Facebook co-founder Mark Zuckerberg. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen says the government will not have enough money to pay all of the nation's obligations if the debt ceiling is not raised by June 5th. Apple, Fox, and Netflix want a shot at future NBA media rights. Right now, Disney and Warner Brothers Discovery are in an exclusive negotiating window to renew their contracts with the league, which expire in 2025. Future NBA media rights could top $5 billion a year. The NBA is expected to sell the rights to more than two companies and may carve out games for a streaming service.
The former head of a Democratic watchdog group is asking the State Board of Elections to investigate nearly $1 million in campaign donations. The new accusations, he says, are the basis for his request.
Also, one local town is preparing for growth, but doesn't want to lose its charm. The positive changes residents and business owners say they hope will draw more people downtown. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
There's a call for the North Carolina Board of Elections to investigate donations the video poker industry made to state lawmakers. WRL's Shelley Jackson joins us live from downtown. Shelley, what's this controversy about?
Well, Renee, good afternoon. It is about political donations. Now, just about an hour ago, Bob Hall, formerly with Democracy North Carolina, filed a complaint here at the State Board of Elections. In that complaint, he is alleging the video poker industry gave $885,000 to candidates and party committees from 2019 through 2022. The complaint also says the North Carolina Coin Operators Association conspired to donate a record amount of money in a coordinated manner that circumvented reporting obligations for political action committees or PACs. Now, this was allegedly done by bundling checks from video poker donors. The donations ranged from $50 to as much as $5,600, the maximum donation under state law at the time.
They organized and they didn't register as a PAC and abide by the PAC limits. Instead, they bundled their money and delivered it as one contribution, essentially. But it's way more than the $5,600. So they're kind of circumventing the law by bundling money and giving it to their legislators.
And now, after years of battling the video poker industry, state lawmakers are thinking about legalizing it and taxing it. I also reached out to the North Carolina Coin Operators Association for a comment. We have not heard back. Renee?
Shelley Jackson reporting live in downtown Raleigh. Shelley, thanks. Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, two people could still be inside a partially collapsed building that collapsed Sunday afternoon in Davenport, Iowa. This is the scene of the collapse. There are a lot of protests going on there right now because people are angry. City officials were discussing a teardown of that building, but because of a rescue they made yesterday, Lisa Brooks, she was pulled out alive from that rubble. Protesters are saying do not tear down this building yet. Multiple teams are searching. Five others remain unaccounted for as this rescue continues into its 36th hour. This press conference is actually still going on right now. I'm going to keep a listen and I'll bring you any updates from the Live Center.
How do you balance community growth and preserving history at the same time? That is a challenge one small town is facing in central North Carolina as its population booms. WRL's Destiny Patterson reports both town leaders and the people who live there are considering Youngsville's future.
Youngsville leaders are going back to the drawing board.
It's just hubris to say that we know what's going to happen 30 years from now. But we can try and we can plan for it and we can hope that we have some stuff right.
They're in the process of getting the community's feedback about what new development should look like. It's called a comprehensive land use and transportation plan and maps out zoning and the vision for the future of the town, looking out to the year 2050.
We've already exceeded the population estimates that were done in our 2018 comprehensive plan.
The town manager tells me about 2,500 people live within Youngsville. But by 2050, more than 20,000 people are expected to call this home.
Oh, it's been crazy. It's been incredible, though.
In the heart of downtown, Barbara McLemore owns an antique shop selling all kinds of trinkets and home decor.
You can really tell a big difference. I lived in Youngsville for 11 years, and I never came downtown. And who would have thought that I would have ended up downtown for, you know, a business?
Paige says the downtown area is one that both town leaders and developers have their eyes on.
One of the things that we're finding is folks really love to be able to walk through a place and stroll through a place and experience a place.
But he says the goal is not to be like North Hills or downtown Raleigh.
New construction should fit in with what's there already.
It's a fun little town now, where years ago, I wouldn't have said that.
And while Paige says they can't tell the future, he says it's important to plan for the growth while still keeping Youngsville's charm. Destiny Patterson, WREL News.
Paige also says he expects a new plan with policy recommendations and a map to be presented to the commissioners in the fall.
Our county-by-county coverage takes us to Lee, Granville, and Cumberland counties. You can help Granville County students be successful in the classroom. The Richard Thornton Library School Supply Drive begins Thursday. You can drop off your donations at Thornton Library in Oxford all month long. Here's a list of the items needed most: books, pencils and pens, pencil cases, backpacks, and erasers.
And this isn't something you see every day. A peacock on the roof of an elementary school in Sanford. Lee County Schools posted this to their Facebook page, saying maybe J.R. Ingram Jr. Elementary has a new mascot. The peacock seems to be waiting on students to get back from their break. But the district says they're okay with the Eagles mascot they already have.
Congratulations are in order for a pair of Terry Sanford High School alums in Fayetteville. Nikki and Ritika Shamdasani started their own fashion brand, and the clothing line was just picked up by Nordstrom. They are first-generation Indian-American women looking for authentic and comfortable cultural clothing. And when they found the selection fell short, they decided to launch their own brand, Sani. Congratulations.
Health officials say people across the nation are experiencing surging rates of loneliness, and the consequences could be deadly. Lauren Blanchard takes a look at how professional cuddlers could help combat the problem.
Looking for a career change? Why not try becoming a professional cuddler? It's a unique and growing trend as more people around the world seek companions to help soothe their loneliness.
The impact of touch is that it can really start to settle us into a deeper sense of feeling safe, considered, seen by the person in which we're engaging in touch with.
While problematic, loneliness is something that unites many of us. According to a recent report from the Surgeon General, nearly half of all U.S. adults have experienced it. But left unchecked, chronic loneliness can be just as harmful to your health as smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day.
You have a booking today.
And while cuddling services are available across the U.S., overseas, the options can be harder to come by. After a terrible day at work, Florence Letswalo of South Africa realized how much better she felt after cuddling with her partner. So she decided to start her own cuddling company and is busy pairing clients with cuddle mates.
The client and the cuddle mate do not communicate at all. We don't exchange their numbers. We verify everything. We facilitate the booking process.
Her company offers 90-minute sessions starting around $50 and stresses the cuddling is never sexualized.
I'm a naturally giving person and loving person, so I thought, why not? No, why don't I give that to the other person that needs it?
As Lauren Blanchard reporting, and if you're lonely but not comfortable hiring a cuddle mate, the U.S. Surgeon General recommends joining an organization in your community. This will help you get out of the house and engage with others face-to-face.
Mpox may flare again. Why Wake County Public Health says now's a good time to get the vaccine.
And businesses are tapping into your competitive nature. Their new strategy to get you hooked on a service and keep you coming back for more.
With summer events and festivals coming up, Wake County Public Health is pushing Mpox vaccinations. Earlier this month, 21 people in Chicago were infected with the virus, formerly known as monkeypox. The public health team is offering no-cost testing and shots for those at risk. You can make an appointment for testing or the vaccine. Visit wake.gov/mpox. Scientists are a step closer to figuring out sudden infant death syndrome, the leading cause of death for babies. Usually, SIDS happens when the baby is asleep. Scientists studied disrupted breathing as the cause. They studied babies who died of SIDS and compared them to babies who died from another cause. They found an abnormality in the brain receptor of the babies with SIDS. The receptor responds to low oxygen, causing us to awaken and gasp for air.
Bad eating habits during your college years could lead to negative health issues later on in life. A new study shows eating a poor diet in college tends to continue after graduation. These types of diets typically consist of high-calorie foods and sugary items. This diet in college can contribute to future health problems like obesity, respiratory illnesses, and depression. They also say universities need to give students healthier and more affordable food options. All right, let's face it, everyone likes to get a reward for accomplishing a goal. Coming up, how companies are using streaks to influence consumer behavior.
And how would you like a spectacular view of the ocean year-round? The government just might have an offer you can't refuse. Summer will be a busy travel season. If the Memorial Day weekend numbers we're seeing is any indication, the numbers show that travel is bouncing back from the pandemic. TSA says more than 12 million people were screened beginning Thursday, and that surpasses pre-pandemic 2019 by about 180,000 passengers. The busiest day of the travel weekend was Friday with nearly 3 million travelers. Home prices seem to be in recovery mode. The latest U.S. National Home Price Index shows home prices rose slightly in March, 0.4% after seasonal adjustment. It's the second month in a row that prices have increased. February's increase stopped a seven-month streak of month-over-month declines.
From learning another language to getting in shape, turning your goals into a game could make you more likely to stick with them. Anna Eliopoulos explains the philosophy behind how businesses are now marketing their product.
With thousands of apps and other forms of entertainment at your fingertips these days, businesses are doing everything they can to command your attention. That's led to the rise of a marketing strategy known as gamification, the practice of implementing goals and milestones to keep users engaged.
Consumers are very good at finding goals and then wanting to meet them at all costs.
If you want to learn a language, apps like Duolingo and Babbel can help, rewarding users who come back every day by keeping track of their streak and putting them in different leagues based on how much they've learned.
Streaks is one of those types of patterns that that we've shown can be really, really engaging and keep consumers coming back.
Okay, Peloton, let's go.
Fitness company Peloton exploded in popularity during the pandemic, bringing workout classes to your living room, along with the ability to track your progress on the leaderboards. Loyalty programs like Starbucks Reward frequent customers with free drinks and other prizes. Even online dating has become gamified. Users on Tinder, Bumble, and other apps can swipe to meet other singles, getting a dopamine hit when they find a match. All of it intended to keep us coming back for more. Some psychologists warn it can create a cycle of addiction, but marketers recognize it works.
It's about the internal reward that you get from having a collection or knowing that you've checked off certain milestones, having a virtual trophy or badge.
I can see where a little competition could spark the, you know, the competitive nature to keep doing something, as long as it doesn't become, you know, a negative part of, you know, the addiction to it.
Yeah, well, I guess you have to see what motivates you, right? Streaks are positive reinforcement. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Apple Watch works on that principle. I love being able to close my rings, the move ring, exercise ring, stand ring. You're like, yes, I got something done. So
you have some streaks going.
Well, I've got a ways to go on there. I need to get outside and do some walking or something
today. We'll keep standing.
Yeah, we're standing.
Is today going to be the day that we can get outside and get some walking done? Amy Wilmuth in the WRL Severe Weather Center.
You can. You just have to kind of plan it around the rain. So just check the WRL weather app. We have the radar on there, and you can plan your outdoor activities based on what the radar looks like in your area. Right now, most of the rain is confined to our southwestern counties. We have this low pressure system off the North Carolina coast. Winds flow counterclockwise around low pressure systems. That's driving in that northeasterly flow. Tends to be more of a moist flow for us. We have more clouds. We have the opportunity for rain. It's a little bit more sticky and humid as well. It does feel a little bit sticky as you step outside. Here's a look at the radar right now. Things are fairly quiet in our northeastern counties. There is another batch of showers here that's going to move into our northeastern counties shortly. But right now, most of the rain is confined to our southwestern communities where we have some scattered showers near Carthage, Southern Pines, Vass, getting some of those showers. We've had some of those showers in Lee County, Harnett County, but you can see one of those heavier cells just to the north of downtown Vass right now. Spring Lake's had some rain. Fayetteville, you've had a couple of passing showers as well. Looking at the rainfall over the last 5 days, we've had about 1 inch to 2 inches across a good part of the viewing area. The heaviest rainfall total that I saw from the National Weather Service reports was in Newton Grove, right here in this area of purple. It was 2.2 inches of rain over the holiday weekend. So we had some pretty decent totals. It was kind of rainy and gloomy for the holiday weekend. And we're going to stay in this pattern with some clouds and some rain until we can get rid of that low pressure system. That probably happens by the middle of the week. This is a live look at downtown Raleigh from our Jimmy V's camera. A little bit of a breeze there. I just checked the winds. They're at about 10 miles per hour across the viewing area. It's 72 right now. The dew point's 65. So that's a little high. It does feel pretty humid. We'll get into the mid-70s this afternoon, which is about 10 degrees below normal. And we'll have a couple of passing showers on and off throughout the day. This is a live look out at the century plant here in the WRAL Gardens, and this has actually grown over a foot in the last week. It continues to grow. Another live look, this is in Anger. We have some clouds, but we also have some blue sky. So we have had a few peaks of some sun across parts of the viewing area, and you can see that with the visible satellite imagery. Anywhere where you see these darker areas, that's where we're seeing a little bit of sunshine, but still a lot of clouds as well, thanks to that northeasterly flow. The cloud cover, it's sticking around. We'll have mostly cloudy skies, some passing showers possible through the evening. We'll keep rain in the forecast into tomorrow as well. Mid-70s for highs for today and tomorrow. That's below normal, but we'll warm it back into the 80s for Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, getting closer to normal. But looking at the trends for next week, we're in the below normal category, and we do have some trends that show us with temperatures in the upper 70s, and that continues through June 13th, perhaps. So maybe even into the middle of June, dealing with some below normal temperatures. But we will get a brief warm up with those highs in the mid 80s Friday and Saturday. But again, cooling back into the upper 70s Sunday and Monday.
Amy, thanks. You've heard of Stonehenge, right? Now there's a new phenomenon New Yorkers call Manhattanhenge, the stunning view and how it got its name.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. This afternoon, lawmakers are once again discussing legislation which would make medical marijuana legal in North Carolina. The bill would make North Carolina the 39th state in the country to legalize it. The committee did not vote on it today.
Fort Bragg is a step closer to becoming Fort Liberty. Final preps are being made for the Sunset Liberty March, which takes place the day before the redesignation. Fort Bragg's commanding general says every day at sunset, a designated veteran who signs up will walk the trail in honor of someone who's given his or her life for this country.
YouTube is getting rid of its stories feature next month because not many people were using it. It first rolled out back in 2017, and creators could post content to their story, which disappeared after a certain amount of time. Since then, it hasn't gained much popularity for YouTube users. So now the company wants content creators to post more on different parts of the platform, like the community post section. Users will be able to access the stories feature until June 26th. Queen may be the champions for the most expensive sale of a music catalog. The rock group's music catalog could sell for more than $1 billion in the next month. There are talks for Universal Music Group to buy Queen's catalog from Disney Music Group. Disney says it has no plans to sell, but if the sale were to happen, it would make it the highest price for a music catalog ever sold.
The government has an offer it hopes you can't refuse. 10 lighthouses across the country are being sold or given away for free. For nearly 25 years, the General Services Administration has transferred ownership of 150 lighthouses to private citizens. The government hopes to preserve these historic properties and make them available to the public for educational and recreational purposes. A solar phenomenon dazzled New Yorkers and tourists alike. It is known as Manhattanhenge, as in Stonehenge. The setting sun aligns with the Manhattan street grid and creates this rosy glow. Unlike the Stonehenge builders, the planners who laid out Manhattan did not mean to channel the sun. It just worked out that way. This site appears twice a year, about 3 weeks before the summer solstice, and again, about 3 weeks after. Makes for some, Instagram-worthy pictures.
Oh, that's beautiful. Memorial Day was the first major test for airlines since last year's system failure. Today at 4, how the U.S. aviation system performed and the implications this has for the rest of the year.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Have a great Tuesday.
Keep watching WREL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.